Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel, brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state and its greatness as it leads the world in technology, agriculture, medicine, and the vast amounts of humanitarian work that it does around the world, and its fight for sovereignty and security. Thank you. Thank you, America's Web Radio, for bringing this truth about the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. You guys are the greatest. 1 year ago, this past March, Insight to Israel went on the air. And it has been an exciting, amazing, adventurous ride to tell the truth at the grassroots level. When Israelis hear that Americans love them, support them, pray for them, want to hear their story, there is a joy that comes when they hear from the rest of the global media, the global governance, and the Islamic media, the negative, the lies, the propaganda machine against Israel. They are so grateful. It is amazing. And, you know, my mother said one time, she listens to the radio show, and I'm sure you're listening to this, Mom. She called me up on the phone and she said, "Now, Michael, you don't have to say wow all the time." I said, "Mother, if you could look in the eyes of the people that you interview, that I interview, and see their face, and the joy that comes from having that ability to tell the story when the rest of the world ignores it." And it's amazing, as an American, what do I know? What have I ever had to go through of hardship, of suffering? I could have been born in a country of lesser estate. I'm thank God that I was born in the United States. But I can't wrap my mind around half the things that have happened to the great people in this country, what they've had to go through. Now, I got a group of folks here that are sitting with me from the United States of America. And let me say, even though I know some surface, I can say with confidence, some of the finest Christian folks. We got some background similarities, but they're looking here at me with in agreement, that everywhere you turn in this country, there is an amazing story, a miracle to be told. So, not bearing off, I want to say thank you again to all those that listen to America's Web Radio and Insight to Israel for an entire year. And thank you to America's Web Radio for bringing this truth to the United States. And I do not want to fall short in saying thank you to those who give to Hershey's for Heroes. If you don't know what Hershey's for Heroes is, you need to go into Google. Wasn't that started by the Israelis? Wow. Wow. Another blessing from the Jewish state. Where would I be as a man? Less of a man. At least technology-wise. Thank you to all those who give to Hershey's for Heroes. Go ahead and Google Hershey's for Heroes. You'll find it on Facebook. It is an amazing program where Americans have become participators, not spectators, and showing the Jewish state and the soldiers that fight every day for the freedom that they care and they love them. They're putting a note on these chocolate bars. Thank you for defending the Jewish state. We love you. We pray for you. And you will never know what that note means. I'm telling you, I've literally had soldiers look at me and say, "Michael, we didn't know." When you grow up as an 18-year-old child, hearing that the world hates you, can you imagine? Sir, can you imagine? Can you imagine what the... Can you wrap your mind around that?
It's a different world, seriously. Yeah, growing up in the United States, we didn't experience that.
Never.
And so, no.
Tell us your name real quick, sir.
I'm Doug Beecham.
Doug Beecham. From?
I live in Oklahoma City.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm the presiding bishop for the International Pentecostal Holiness Church.
Now I'm sure there's some of my brothers listening.
That's exactly
from
right.
College, from Holmes College.
There probably are some there.
So thank you. Thank you, sir, for your input. We're going to get everyone else
sure.
here. Thank you for giving to Hershey's for Heroes. Google Hershey's for Heroes, find it on Facebook, or email me at mgano@insighttoisrael.com, all one word, insighttoisrael.com, mgano@insighttoisrael.com. We need to show these soldiers. I'm telling you, I spent 3 days in the Golan Heights on a Golani base of Special Forces. Wow. 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 These kids, they're the best. I love them. I hug their neck. I love them. They're my heart. And I thank you for all those that are participators. Even go to the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page and find testimony from the troops, and you see how these young people's lives are transformed, their mentality. Even their spirit is transformed by that chocolate bar. So, moving forward. All right. That's exciting stuff. Another beautiful day in the Jewish state. We are in the eternal capital of Israel, Jerusalem, that shall not be given up to its enemies from now until eternity. Shall not be given up. Bishop?
Yep.
Wow, my black friends, they use the word bishop.
Right.
They throw that bishop.
This is the real bishop.
Into it. Thank you for being here, sir.
It's great to be here. Nice to be back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're glad that, man, there's nothing like it, is there?
It's a phenomenal place. I always love coming.
Yep. Now, the gentleman next to you.
I'm Bob Cave.
Bob Cave. You know what, Bob? I've actually heard that name before, I think.
I'm Canadian, so I'm going to speak to your American friends.
Nice.
Maybe we've got some Canadians listening, and I wanted to say that my Prime Minister, Stephen Harper,
absolutely
is a friend of Israel.
Yes. Right.
Staunch supporter, was just here, and he's got your back.
Nice.
So we're happy to be in Israel, happy to be a part of what you're doing, and I work in Europe and Middle East.
Wow.
So I get to hear a lot of testimonies, a lot of things of people that are coming to Christ because of what's happening here in this state.
Right, right.
What started here.
Right, absolutely. 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 Judea and Samaria, the uttermost.
Mm-hmm.
The uttermost.
I brought a friend of mine with me. This is Rod Frew. He's a businessman from Vancouver, Canada.
Rod, thank you for being here with us, sir. Appreciate it.
What? Thank you, Michael.
Rod, first time.
First time ever. First
time for him.
Yep. And I can tell you that all the pictures and stories that other people tell you about Jerusalem doesn't cut it. You have to see it for yourself.
It
brings history alive. And we looked yesterday at some diggings that were just undergoing for the last couple of years, 3,000 years old. And you start to get a glimpse. When you come from Canada, we think history is about 200 years.
Exactly.
Doesn't cut it.
He's absolutely right.
Doesn't cut it.
He's absolutely right.
This is a delight to be here and a real blessing to see. I don't understand all the cultural issues we hear about from the media, but you don't hear the straight goods.
Right.
When you live in Canada or the States.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see it and hear some other opinions.
Nice.
Just happy to be here, Michael.
Hey, sir, thanks for being on the show, coming all the way from Canada to the Jewish state. My, my, my. Hey, I think everyone ought to spend their money in Israel.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So now, I have special, some friends of mine here, the Roberts couple. And, I appreciate you folks when you contacted me last week. Was it last week or the week before?
Oh, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks now.
Wow, it goes by fast. It's just like, wow, I come to Israel, I'm 41, now I'm 43. You know what I mean? Something ain't right, but I'm feeling good.
There
That's a good thing. Hey, folks, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And now, you've been coming to Israel for some time.
Michael, we've been coming to Israel since the early 80s, and we first came to see the places of the Bible,
right,
and started bringing groups with us, and they enjoyed it. But in that process, something happened. We came to see the land to start with, but the hearts of the Jewish people grabbed us. And I had a Jewish lady tell me recently, said, "You're not Jewish by birth, but you have the heart of a Jew. And we feel that, and we sense that.
Wow.
And let me say to you, give you recognition and thanks for the work that you're doing among the military here to encourage them and strengthen them.
Baruch Hashem, I love them.
The fathers and the mothers and the sons and daughters of Israel are making a great sacrifice.
Absolutely.
And we as Americans sometimes lose sight of that because the wars that the Israelis are fighting are not thousands of miles away.
Right.
They're here on their doorstep. And yet the real strength of Israel is not the military, it's the God of Israel.
Absolutely.
That gives that strength and that blessing and that guidance. Mm. And we're just delighted to now live here in the land to be part of the time.
Wow.
I know for myself, the first few times that we came to Israel, we were bringing groups to come over and see the land. And I fell in love with the land. But after a couple of more visits, I started to fall in love with the people. And I realized that this was a very special place here. It was a special place even in my own relationship with Christ. And that if I was open to what God wanted to do in my life, that I would learn to reach out with more than just saying that I love the people.
Right.
But actually doing some things for the people.
That's it. You know, there was a group of guys and I that I worked with in Washington, very pro-Israel Christian. We'd go to all these pro-Israel events and go and wave the Israeli flag. And two thoughts always came to my mind. Number one, what in the world am I doing here? Wow, this is not, I'm a man of action. This is not enough for me to, you know, when I felt a burden for the direction our country's going, I got involved in politics. You know, I threw my life into it. When I saw what was happening in Israel to wave a flag, for me, it wasn't enough. And then the second question I ask is, why in the world, there's so many Jewish folks in this event. They all should, now I don't believe in the diaspora. I don't care what other folks believe. Doesn't make no, never mind to me, if I could use that term, I'm from West Virginia. And you folks are... It's good to hear an accent. Anyway, I can't believe I just said that.
Do we have an accent?
But you know what? After 2,000 years of exile, when I studied the history of the Haganah, the Palmach, Edsel, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th Aliyah before 48, of the people that came here and chewed out this land, the work's already been done. We are sitting in Mamilla Mall. Not with camels around us, in a mall, in a beautiful, luxurious mall, outdoor mall, in a cafe that's amazing. The Jewish people did this, not the Arabs, not the Czechs, not the Americans. The Jewish people created this in 65 years. So I ask, why are there American Jews standing around waving Israeli flags? Your brothers and sisters are over here fighting for the freedom, yet at the same time creating. So that's why I came to Israel, so I can understand, ma'am, where you're coming from. Because now, not everybody obviously is meant to be here. Bishop, you're meant to send the message back to the United States to encourage here. Tell your story. I want to hear why you're here, sir.
I first came here in 1968. I was 19 years old, and it was almost a year to the day of the Six-Day War. And
wow.
In that period, there was a deep sense among many evangelicals and Pentecostals in the United States and around the world that God was really at work in that. That God's calendar was clicking.
Can I interrupt you for
sure.
a second?
Uh-huh.
That's a calendar we should be going by.
Right. It's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, when I came here, and, you know, you grew up in the United States, and it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And almost any other country in the world, you're dealing with large landmass. And it's not until you get here that you realize from a geographical standpoint, what a small place it is.
Yeah.
And that the enemies are literally right on you.
All around you.
And to realize that at 19 years of age, that war, which only lasted a week,
right?
That's that Six-Day War,
to realize what God did.
Right.
And the impact of the IDF and the people that were supporting it at that time, much stronger support out of our own government for Israel. And
what year was that?
1968.
Okay.
Well, the war was 67.
Right.
When I first came.
Right.
And then it was a number of years later that I started coming back a little more regularly. And each time I come, it's just what you said. You see a nation that develops.
Excuse me one second. John. Okay. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
That's all right. A nation that develops out of the blessings of God. We know from Scripture that nations and people that bless Israel, that bless what God is doing, they're going to be blessed.
Absolutely.
The promise to Abraham still continues there in Genesis of the blessings. Scripture tells us to pray for the peace in Jerusalem. And so we continue to do that. We care about this nation. I wanted to mention to you, when you talked about your love and care for the idea and what you do, I'm very thankful that the Pentecostal Holiness Church has been expressing that in a rather unique way. And about 2 years ago, one of our leaders, a man named Gary Bird, who heads up a major motorcycle ministry in the United States.
I'm excited.
Oh, and listen, he's a bishop too.
Nice.
That he rides on a Harley, and he dresses differently than me. Actually, a lot cooler than me. But Gary felt called of God to mobilize bikers in the United States who have a love for Israel, came over here connected with Jews who are bikers. And they had, I think he told me, it was well over 100 bikes that did a run from the coast to the wall, to the whaling wall. And got all of the clearance, everything taken care of. Can you imagine all these bikes coming through? And they went all over the country stopping and visiting with IDF. They had bandanas made, camouflage bandanas, with Psalm 91 in Hebrew on it.
Wow.
And we're handing them out, you know, by the thousands. And they are coming back. They're coming back this November to do it again.
I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I'm going to make sure you guys get connected.
Wow.
Because there is this great appreciation for what the men and women in the IDF have done. But really, it really was birthed out of my generation. Gary and I are baby boomers, like some of us that are sitting around this table. We remember what it was like when men and women our age served in Vietnam.
Right.
And came back and were not appreciated.
Right.
And this whole movement of a run for the wall started, not just with Christians, but with Vietnam vets who found themselves coming back and making the run for the wall in Vietnam to honor those men and women, including some of my very close family members who served there.
Wow.
And so that jumped then to the run for the wall here in Israel to say appreciation to the men and women who died in the wars here and those that are currently serving in the IDF.
Wow. I want to just take a second here. This is the second time that Jonathan Feldstein has been with us on the radio show. Like the Jonathan from Heart to Heart. Tell us your website, Jonathan.
AFMDA.org/heart-to-heart. One word.
AFMDA/heart-to-heart.
.org/heart-to-heart.
All right. Listen, Jonathan helps raise money for the emergency and blood service here in Israel. And he's been on the show a number of times. Jonathan, thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. I feel like when I walk around the streets in Jerusalem and bump into Michael Gano, it's almost like bumping into a prophet of Israel.
P-R-O-F-I-T.
Either one. God bless you all. Thank you for being here.
God bless you. Thanks for watching.
Be in touch.
I appreciate it. Thank
good.
You very much. Thank you.
Sir, I appreciate you much.
Get easy.
All right, have a good one. Thank you, John. All right. Wow, great stuff. You know, I've met some of the... When I hear Israelis complain, Buzz, you know, sometimes folks complain, it's hard here. It's a hard life here.
Yeah.
You know, you love Israel. Why? I want to go to America. I'm like, you know what? You have no clue what you're asking
That's
for.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And I say, I thank God. I thank God that I was born and raised in the United States. But I'll tell you what. This is God's country, and I like to be where God is. Go ahead.
Michael, along those lines,
yes.
When you start talking about the nation of Israel, I can't help but think about my grandfather. who became a pastor in 1924 in the U.S. And he said very often, the next great sign that we're looking for is the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. And the Lord was gracious enough to allow him to live to see that happen.
Wow.
But now, as his grandson, to be able to live here and participate in what's going on is just unexplainable.
Are you ready for this? When I tell the American Jews, if you are able-bodied and able-minded, it's time to see what Moses did not.
Mm. Yep.
Amen.
That's great.
Yep.
Sir, yeah. I'd like to hear from you. What, now, why do you believe in the Jewish state and come to Israel?
I think.
Tell us your name again.
Bob Cave, from Canada.
What do you do in Canada, Bob? Because I've heard that name. I can't get over it.
I mostly leave Canada and come to somewhere else. only because I want to take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever I go.
Right.
So I oversee what we do in about 27 countries in Europe and Middle East.
Wow.
For our missions department, which is an exciting thing because those stories and those tales are everywhere, especially up in the Ukraine and the Eastern European countries where thousands of the Jewish people are being repatriated to Israel. So for having Aliyah, we have friends that are up in Kiev that work just exclusively to find the Jewish people across Siberia, across all of Russia, across Ukraine, across Romania, all those places.
Oh, Romania. Tell you best Romania. I lived there for a year. Wow.
Yeah. So it's an exciting thing, especially when you hear their stories and you hear what God's doing. I think if anything is great about the life I lead, it's hearing the God stories. The God stories of what he is doing in people's lives. And, of course, some of the hardships that they've gone through to be Christians, especially under the communist system that was there. So, exciting to see people now coming back here to their country, their home country. So, even our mother church up in Ukraine, up in Kiev, has got several daughter churches down here.
Wow.
And taking the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those Jewish people that have been brought back into this country here. So exciting. Just everywhere I go, there's stories.
Now, let me say this. English?
I was in Arabic.
No, I'm broke. I've been forced into a cashless society. So, sorry about that. Just had a little interruption. I want to clarify something while we're along these lines.
Yeah.
I appreciate and respect what you do. I really do. It means a lot to hear that, especially since I've been in Eastern Europe. I am not a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that for a reason. Sometimes there's folks that have accused me of being as such. But I have my freedom of speech. I'm not going to let folks deny me of that. That's my God-given right. I have my freedom of speech. And folks don't. Whether it's here, Russia, United States, they don't like what I say. You can either strap me up, because you're not going to shut me up. Okay? So, but in clarifying that, some folks they don't like missionaries. Now, okay, you got your problems with it. But what do you do when folks come to your house trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner or sell you a product in the store? We're all the time trying to, you know, peddle. Now, I'm not being taken light of the gospel, but everybody's peddling something, whether it's a lie or a truth. And we either accept it, whether it's a lie or the truth. So I hope I'm not being misunderstood.
No problem.
But, you know, some of these folks that have some stuff that, you know, I want to say this against missionaries. Well, I mean, come on. When you walk in the grocery store, they're always trying to sell me candy bars at the checkout, you know. Well, I don't need candy bars.
And yes, you do need candy bars, too.
You need Hershey's bars.
You need Hershey's candy bars.
Wow, hey.
You need bandanas.
Hey, and I appreciate you. Wow. Man, I feel like I have my mother sitting next to me.
She just saved the moment. Right?
Wow.
Michael, I know exactly what you're talking about.
because with us as Americans who are not Jews coming to live in Israel, you get those strange looks and people wondering. But we're not missionaries either.
Right.
We're here because the Lord has put in us a love for the Jewish people.
Right.
And we're just here to let them know that they're loved.
That's right.
You know, they're pushed down and under such pressure a lot of times. They need to know that people love them and care for them.
Absolutely. I'll tell you. Shake your hand. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing the difference it makes. When you just say, we're with you.
Yeah.
You're not Jewish?
No.
Sir?
Yes, with
my dog. What's your story? You're here for the first time. What do you do in Canada?
Well, I don't do anything.
Oh.
I'm like Bob. I'm retired.
I don't know. Oh, I'm you're retired. Well, you guys don't look old enough to retire.
I'm not retired, but he's retired. And I, as a Christian, I don't make any bones about it. The Jewish people are God's chosen people.
Right.
You look at this small country, as you mentioned, and there's like only 10 million of them around the world. They would have never survived without the help of God.
No.
And
even God using us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so it was time that I had to see it for myself. And I don't have any Jewish friends. I don't really connect personally with Jewish people. But I do know that they are God's chosen people, and they've got a wonderful history and a wonderful story to tell, and I support them 100%.
Nice.
Not only do they have a wonderful history, I think they're going to have a wonderful future as well.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that has happened with us over this past year is I still have that mothering instinct in me.
I feel it.
And so,
that's right.
So a lot of times when I go places, if I connect with people, I still have to put my arms around them and hug on them a little bit and just let them know that there are people that care about them, whether they realize it or not. They're important to us and important to God.
And it's amazing how they respond to that.
Yeah. Amen. So let me ask you, so when you say bishop, how many churches are you over? If I can ask that.
Yeah, the Pentecostal Holiness Church is in 100 countries. And as the general superintendent, there are between 10 and 12,000 churches around the world that fall under our umbrella. Fortunately, in each country, they have their own national leadership. And our theological family roots really go back more to the Methodist and the Wesley and an Anglican model.
I guess the church ain't what it used to be.
No. But, you know, I guess in a sense, I've had people ask me, what are we like? And it's sort of like the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's what I am. I don't have any authority anywhere.
And, I thought church on my salad.
Yeah. But people are nice enough around the world who are part of this family to recognize, okay, God has called us together for purposes for the gospel, for purposes. And the gospel obviously includes what God wants to be doing in this nation.
Right.
And so that's who I am and what I do. And, and it's a real blessing. I've done this on this particular assignment in life for 2 years. Prior to that, Bob and I worked together all over the world and did that for 7 years. And so to come here and to be a part of what God's doing in this country, to what ways we can to show our support for this state. And, of course, as you know, there are Christians in this state.
Absolutely.
And to show our support for them and love for them. That's very important to me. That's a priority for us. That's why we're here.
It's a very big connection. A lot of people don't... I don't know how much it's even taught. Because, honestly, if it hadn't been for my mother, saying, Michael... Well, I'm not going to say I wasn't at the homes I was taught.
Sure.
These folks have a connection with Holmes College of the Bible, which I still wish they had their discipline with the suit and the top. But, you know, this modern age. Anyway, sugar, please. But, so, for you, and your, as your non-powered seat of authority, what would you... This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam.
Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving three right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Ganot. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Who've read the Bible, and who know what God's purposes were through the Jews. And of course, Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
And all the early church leaders, almost all in the New Testament, were Jews.
Absolutely.
And you get leaders from all over the world who come here. They see this land. They see the people. They see what God has done here. They know the history.
Yeah.
They know the history since 1948. And to realize really the miracle of what God continues to do.
Amazing.
For our movement, it connects people really on a visceral spiritual level. Not just to what Christianity is about, because Christian roots arise out of the Jewish roots.
Right.
The Torah is our book.
Wow.
And the Navim, and the writings, all of that is the basis for where the New Testament arises.
Right.
And those covenants, the promises that are made to Abraham, that filter their way through the law of Moses, through the witness of the prophets, all of that belongs to us. And of course, as Christians, we believe that that's through what Jesus accomplished,
right,
in his death and his resurrection. That's the lens we view.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from what the reality was of those promises.
Right.
And God's continued purposes and fulfillment of the promises he made to Abraham that are reflected here in the life of the Jewish community. Not only here, but the global Jewish community, whether they know it or not.
Right, right.
And I think that puts us as Christians, and we speak as Pentecostal Christians, spiritual Christians.
Absolutely.
Who
say it again, sir, because I don't get to hear that much.
I mean, we make no apologies for being Pentecostal. For the day of Pentecost that happened here in this city, just hardly a stone's throw or two from where we are now.
Wow.
That defines what we are, life in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that the same Holy Spirit who operates in us today was the same Spirit who was operating in Genesis 1 and 2.
Absolute
creation. The same Spirit of God that's prophesied in Ezekiel.
The smoke, the sacrifice.
Oh, of course, everything.
Wow.
And so, we're not talking about a different God. We're talking about a reality. Go ahead.
You want to mention the meeting schedule for Pentecost next year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be great.
I was here in
2015.
Yeah, I was here in January with a group called Empower 21, which is led by Dr. Billy Wilson, the president of Oral Roberts University. And there were Pentecostal leaders, probably about 30 of us, some from independent charismatic movements and others from the historic Pentecostal churches. We met here, in fact, right next door from where we are right now.
Wow.
And a major event. And I want to thank the Jewish government leadership and the city leadership here, because they are working so effectively with Empower 21. We're expecting 10,000 Pentecostal Spirit-filled people to be here.
Wow.
There's a new Coliseum being built.
I'm going to be covering that.
Yeah, you will. There's a new Coliseum being built right now over near one of the big shopping malls right here in Jerusalem. And it's going to be held there. We all went over there. We had a time of prayer.
Is that
there.
Thing amazing or what?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And that's where the event will be held.
Wow.
And that's an extremely important event. It will be at Pentecost, which will be the end of May in 2015.
Okay.
So this city is going to have people who love Israel, who believe God's word, from all over the world, who are going to gather here in the spirit of what happened at Pentecost.
Wow.
And so that's going to be a phenomenal thing. And I, I'll be back again probably prior to that.
Yeah.
But for us as a movement, we're sort of starting talking about this earlier. Most of the Pentecostal denominations in the United States have a deep love and regard for the Jews and for this nation.
Right.
And we believe that it's a fulfillment of prophecy that this nation exists.
Right.
We believe it's important that our governments find ways to support the security and the existence, not on a minimum level,
right,
but on a maximum level for this state to exist.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention, I took, back in the 90s, our children were teenagers, and I'm really thankful. Our daughter, who was graduating high school at that time, who, by the way, is a lawyer in Washington, D.C., on the politics side of where you came from.
Good luck to her.
Yeah, bless her. Yeah.
That place is a cesspool.
I'm thankful she's not.
No, I'm very glad for the righteous people who are there.
But
maybe I'm just not strong enough.
But you know what? Maybe this says something about her heart. I realize now. She told us, you know, a lot of kids in the United States, when they finish high school, they want to go to, you know, do a big beach thing.
Right.
They go. And we really didn't want her to do that anyway. I can say that now. But she said, I'd like for us as a family to go to Europe together. And so we did. God blessed us. We were able to put, you know, God bless Delta Airlines. They had a special deal going where we could afford to do it.
Wow.
I was a pastor. And that was really hard to pull off.
Exactly.
And we stayed with friends in Europe. We stayed with military chaplains, U.S. Army chaplains.
That's the way to do it.
It was great.
Nice.
But I took my kids. I wanted my kids to see the effects of what had happened under the Holocaust.
Yeah.
We went to Dachau. And I'll never forget it. It was a November day. It wasn't raining, but it was gray. And there weren't many people there. But we're walking through, and I'm telling my children what has occurred, what this represents, what this means for us as Christians, what this means that through the horrors of that event, God touched the conscience, particularly of the Western world, to help make this possible. And you know, seeing the written in many of the languages, Venita, never again. I'm very grateful. I mentioned earlier about what Gary Bird does and the run for the wall and the support for Israel. Canadian Jews have partnered with him.
Right. Wow.
We had a major meeting in Dallas, Texas last summer where members of the Jewish community joined with us in a Never Again rally to say that as Christians, we are not going to stand by idly and allow the Jews in this state to be abandoned. And men like you that are here, who have come here and have put your life in here, put your life on the line here, to stand with Israel. That's an extremely important thing. And I thank you. I want to thank you for doing this. And others like us who are here, who may not be called to do what you've done, and don't have the unique giftings you've got to do this, but nonetheless have the same heart.
Absolutely.
I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful. This kind of, every time I come back, it reminds me more and more it's important that we not be ashamed or embarrassed of what God is doing for this state.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I tell you, sir, and especially when I talk to older Jews, older Israeli Jews, born here. There's a difference in the mentality.
Yeah.
Two things, and I'll never forget, I was sitting in a coffee shop in Tel Aviv doing some work. Beautiful day out. I was sitting in this coffee shop right there on the water. It was like, now, I'm going to tell you, I wake up every morning and I say, God, thank you. Thank you, thank you for another day in the Jewish state.
Yeah.
And, but, the other side of me, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, I just got to pinch myself, because, you know, when you hear the word Mediterranean, everybody thinks exotic.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, I'm like, who'd have thought a boy from West Virginia, and I'm not a boy, I'm a man, could ever have the blessing of sitting here and seeing this. My point being is, this guy, out of the blue, I just had some casual conversation, his English wasn't even that good.
and I was busy working, so the conversation ceased. It almost seemed abruptly. But he was almost looking, he was basically looking away from me out at the water, and he just made one statement: the American Jews will come.
Wow.
They will come. It will not be under there because they want to. And I was like, it was just, I'm telling you, it smote me.
Yeah.
And so my point being is that when the older that have been through the wars, they say that's one of the things that they say. And I believe if a major terrorist attack happens in the United States, that the government will use that as a reason not to let Jews, because they will say it's for security reasons.
Wow.
They will not allow Jews to leave and come back to Israel to be with their loved ones, which they should have done a long time ago. Go ahead.
Well, you talk about the older Jews living here that have been through
the wars
and so on and so forth. We met a precious Jewish lady that was in her early 90s. She had been in Holland during the Holocaust.
My.
And she had a fairer complexion and blonde hair. So the family would send her out to try to scavenge for food because she didn't, quote, look Jewish.
Right.
She came back one day as a 9-year-old girl to find that her whole family had been killed while she was gone. The only one left was her father, who had been out as well trying to do some things, and he was digging the graves for those family members and died of a heart attack digging those graves.
My.
And yet to see that lady living here in Israel, and you could just see the joy and the peace of the Lord upon her, because she realized that even in spite of that, God had been good to her and brought her back to this home.
Wow.
How others can stand back and say, no, it's not my... that's not my thing. I'm more comfortable here. That's hard to fathom.
It is. And, you know, there's going to be another war. It's coming. They know it. I talked to them. They're like, they're not nonchalant, but they're so used to dealing with this. And Alan Dershowitz, we're talking about liberation right now. Alan Dershowitz, who's a huge godless leftist, is making all of his money doing the speaking tours. And I'm stating the point. Is making all his money doing speaking tours. He's got this high power law firm and everything. You know, I think he's very disingenuous. My point being is that in my video, while you were sleeping, let people like that come here, pay the taxes, be a part of the greatness. Let their children serve honorably, or their grandchildren, next to these young people that serve mandatorily, and then in the reserves till they're 45. And you know what they say, Michael? We must. We must. To have a young... I tell you, this is why... I grew up in a military home. My father was a Green Beret. And anyway, it's coming. And folks, I'm glad that we're on the same team.
Yep.
Because...
let me ask you a question.
Please, sir.
Part of your experience has been in the political side in the United States.
Yes, sir.
And you were talking earlier about, you know, a war that's coming. What do you see that's happening on the American political scene now related to this state? What's your perspective on that?
I think that I hear Israelis say, we need American money. No, you don't. You need God. God is taking care of you when the Americans would not.
That's exactly right, yeah.
I hate to hear that, because we are not the end-all, be-all.
No.
And I think...
we had a beginning and we'll have an end.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think, sir, that we're going to continue to see, and I hate to see it, because, look, I'm sharing this. Anybody that has listened to Insight to Israel or has followed the work, I raise my own money. I do my own marketing. I raise my own money. But God will take care of me.
Yep.
But we're going to continue to see the demise. And sometimes I think about that myself, and I'm like,
okay, God, you're going to have to do it because you brought me here.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to continue to see that demise. And I
believe that a decline of support, of support for Israel.
Because from the U.S. government. As our morality declines, so goes our government decline. And I think we'll be absorbed into the global community. There's going to be, Islam says, the Jew on Saturday, the Christian on Sunday.
Yeah.
There are 35 Muslim training camps in the U.S. The Muslim Brotherhood, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. The fact is, it's been proven. The Muslim Brotherhood has infiltrated the White House. 21 advisors from the Muslim Brotherhood to the Obama administration. Hillary Clinton's next. I think she'll get in. 2016, and when she gets in, that's going to be it right there. I think you will see, and as we go against Israel and our government, unfortunately, we will all pay the price.
We'll pay the price, yeah.
That's what I see.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's another election to be won. There's no more lobbying to be had, no more bills to be passed. Our course is set, and this is a time for American Christians to tighten up, get your hearts ready, get in that spiritual place. And I'm telling you, sir, I really believe, I wrestle with this.
Yeah.
I believe in fighting for your individual liberties. And I believe that 13% of the original colonists wanted the Revolutionary War.
Right.
We're not in the same place, I understand that.
Yeah.
But I think that we'll be forced to do things that our mind could never comprehend that we'd have to do to survive.
And if our hopes in politicians, the problems would have been solved a long time ago. If they were able to solve them, they would already have been solved.
Absolutely.
That's,
that's what I see, sir. And this country is... We're a republic. Israel's a democracy. I pray that God keeps the homosexuality out of here. I speak out against it. I speak out against the genocide of 70,000 Jewish babies a year being aborted. Against the prostitution. Against the drugs. All that stuff. But with that being said, I don't know what Americans think, but y'all want to come over here and fight?
Yeah,
I'll take you. You know what I mean? And anyway, that's what I see. So, what do you see for Canada? Now, how often are you in Canada?
I'm there, bud.
Because you sounds like
about a quarter of the year I'm in Canada, if that. But I see Canada following a lot of the U.S. line, although we have a strong prime minister right now who's a born-again Christian. And the fact that he's a born-again Christian and is not afraid to show it makes a big difference.
Right.
So we don't know what the next election will bring or what the next thing will bring, but I know that there's a strong prayer group also in our government. And so I pray that that will sustain Canada maybe a little longer than America. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think we're all in the same boat.
Absolutely.
You know, that sooner or later it's going to be defined by standing for God, not just necessarily our country.
Absolutely.
So,
you know what? I say let it come.
Let it come.
I'm tired of dealing with the hypocrites.
Exactly.
And those half-hearted.
Exactly.
You know what Patton said, one of my favorites. Patton said, I can't think of the quote. The one that keeps coming to my mind is, God have mercy on my enemies, for I will not. But I'm glad we're separating the wheat from the sheep from the goats. I want it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of wondering if the guy next to me is really for me.
Yeah. Well, I think our attitude as Christians is the most important thing. We can't be lukewarm anymore. We've got to take a strong stand on who we are. I want my children and my grandchildren to take that same strong stand. I believe my grandchildren will be the warriors of the future, the spiritual warriors that'll fight the battle, that'll go in there and not afraid of life or death or whatever. So I pray that in the United States and Canada we'll see a strong rising of the youth rising up, that they will take a spiritual stand where we've just sat in the back seat. And we've got many of our churches, not just in our own denomination, but that are just cozy. They're just kind of waiting it all out.
Wow.
They're not afraid. They're not seeing the fight that's out there, the spiritual warfare that needs to be done. So I just hope there's a wake-up call that comes. And I don't know whether it's a demise of a government or what it happens or an economic crash or what it takes, but something's going to wake us up, you know, to where we're living.
And Michael, when you talk about the spiritual warfare, thought comes to my mind. The Lord is not looking for military analysts.
Right.
He's looking for warriors.
Right.
Yeah.
Not people that can, you know, conjecture, well, maybe we ought to do this, maybe we ought to do that, but people who have a heart for the Lord, who are willing to have enough faith and trust in Him to step out on a limb and watch what He'll do for them.
You know, again, because we come from a Western perspective, especially on the Bible, you know, when I spend time with the soldiers, I tell them, look, if you've never researched the Haganah, the Palmach, and Edsel, now, when this country was first started, you obviously know it was started by secularists. Now, there was a lot of religious involved. But it shows you that God spoke to the heart, the whisper of love and drawing in. When they didn't even know it, just like our founding fathers, the unseen hand of divine providence that moved in the lives of men when they knew it not. Anyway, I told him, I said, look, you know, we talk about praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Number one, it is never at the compromise of principle. And number two, I tell the soldiers, because I quote this to them, and I'll say, when you fight for your country, you keep Torah in your heart, a prayer on your lips to God, and that your aim is sure. Now, I don't believe in taking life. But we've become so spineless in the United States. The greatest generation. They lined up to fight in World War II because they understood that. That's when we're principled. We're principled people. I don't want to see people's lives. I don't want to see people die and go into eternity. But at the expense that the masses may go free to experience possibly eternity, that wickedness may be defeated.
Yeah.
It's a fine line between the.
Right.
I've been misunderstood sometimes in the States. Michael, you want to win? No, I don't. I don't want anybody to go lost.
Yeah.
But I have to stand with God's people, Christians, and with God's chosen.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, I can talk. I'm not trying to dominate because you guys inspire me. I'm feeling like Bishop. Do you have anything to throw in here? Now, let me tell you, we have 7 minutes, and I need to hear from each one of you a good go around. I need some strength for the listeners.
Why don't you start with these guys and work around, and I'll wrap it up. How about that?
That sounds good.
You do the real wrap up.
I'll just do the wrap up. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just think all that we've talked about, our love for Israel and everything, I really believe that our focus has to be on Christ.
Right.
And the love of Israel will come out of that.
Right.
So, I mean, we were saying, do I need to conjure up a love for Israel? No, you need to have a love for Christ. And when we have a love for Christ, it's going to produce a love for Israel. And praying for Jerusalem, and praying for God's will to stand in this country, to stand in this place, and to know that my Lord and Savior is coming back here,
right.
And He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and He's going to come through the gate,
right.
And set up His kingdom here, gives me goosebumps to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and it might be in the very near future, and it might not take some world event to shake that whole thing, and all of a sudden, we're right there.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about the time I live. My kids always talked about, you know, the rapture, and I said, forget the rapture for now. It's time to be a warrior.
Right.
It's time to win your friends and win those that are not serving Christ. So the same thing happens here. This is what it's all about right here.
Absolutely.
It's winning those that don't know Him.
Absolutely. 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 It's great stuff. First timer.
You bet you, Michael.
Loving it, sir.
I only met you an hour ago, but I certainly appreciate what you're doing. And I think a lot of Canadians are asleep. We think that we're better than Americans, and we somehow have it together. I think it's a wake-up call for both our countries.
Right.
Because we do not appear in the end time prophecies. And so it's time to wake up and forget about government and figure out what's in your heart.
Right.
And be led and get moving.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Michael, we've talked about some heavy stuff today, and rightfully so. But I think a word of caution there. We as believers don't need to give in to a spirit of fear,
anxiety. Right, right.
Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. Yeah. And the future is bright for us as we put our faith and our trust in Him. Greater days are ahead. But in the meantime, we've got a responsibility.
Right.
And we've been, to him who much is given, much is required. Right. The Lord has greatly blessed us, and we have a responsibility to give back of ourselves, to make this world better, and to get people ready for what's about to happen.
Wow. That is a buffet of truth that I'm picking from my teeth with an ideological toothpick. Ma'am, please.
Yes, one of the regrets that I've had so far is that my children and grandchildren have not been able to visit the land.
Wow.
And part of that is just because of finances.
Right.
But at some point in time, I want my children and grandchildren to come and to have this same experience of being able to see the Bible, to see God's Word come to life,
right,
to be able to walk where our Lord and our Savior walked, to be able to experience seeing so many nationalities. It's like a huge melting pot.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yes, of people that come together. And yet, I want them to see it because I want them to have full understanding of why we're here. My husband, Gary, and I live in the north up near the Lebanese border. It's not necessarily the safest place we could have chosen to live.
100,000 rockets staring down at you.
And
thanks for the reminder.
Good morning.
And we experienced those rockets for the first time last year personally. So we've been through it. But even before we came, when we had sought to see what we needed to do and where we needed to be, we felt like we needed to be in the north, and we also felt like that part of the reason that we were here was that when the people would be overwhelmed by the enemy,
right,
that we would be able to point them to the God of hope,
right,
and to remind them who they were. And so that's part of what we do, and that's one of the reasons that I fell in love with the Hershey's for Heroes, is because we're at the end of the train line, and we see those military get on and off the train almost every day if we're in town. We do love the military as well, and if I had some Hershey's candy bars, I'd give them out too.
We'll get you some.
Okay.
We'll go and do that together.
And that's one of the things that I will try to encourage people around the world, is that's something that's a great thing, and yet it doesn't cost so much. It's something small you can do, and a word of hope in this land goes a long way.
Absolutely.
Because they are a people that have been put under so much pressure.
Absolutely. Bishop,
finish it up. What you got?
You got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
All right.
1 minute and 20 seconds.
20 seconds.
I'm gonna take
the last
10.
Real fast.
Go ahead.
I mentioned earlier, I came here in 1968, and then the Yom Kippur War in 73. And at that time, there was great support for this nation from almost all the Western democracies. But over the last 35 years, there's been an ideological shift, driven by ideology, disconnecting from truth, that corresponds to an era that's basically considered a post-Christian era for the Western democracy.
Yes, you're right.
And we live in that. The bad news of it is that it leads to the social disintegration and the loss of truth and understanding that we live with.
Right.
The good news is, even though we are entering into a moral and ideological dark ages, it is an opportunity for the light to shine.
Absolutely.
The light of God's truth, the light of His Word, and all the Torah, the prophets, the Gospels, the letters of Paul, the revelatory material of the prophetic material in the Scriptures. And we don't have to, I thought the remark that Gary made, we don't need to live afraid.
Absolutely.
Let's live, as you said earlier, with character, with principle, with an understanding that God so loved the world.
Absolutely.
He gave in this place His only begotten Son.
Absolutely.
And that's the hope. That's the light and that we live with. So we don't have to live intimidated. We don't have to live afraid.
Absolutely. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel.
God bless the patriot conservative Christians in the United States of America that stand for truth and principle. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.